It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Last week, while America was focused on the outcome of our presidential election, scientists in Europe announced that humankind passed another benchmark for our warming planet. 2024 is not only the hottest year on record, but it seems we've already passed the 1.5 degree Celsius threshold. Among the consequences we've experienced from this is that here in Illinois, our climate is becoming more hospitable for invasive species, allowing them to adapt, thrive, and edge out our native flora and fauna. And that is the theme of this year's State of Change, the ongoing public television documentary series produced by our colleagues at Illinois Public Media. Here's a clip from the trailer.
It's a house sparrow. We can tell it's a male because it's got the black on the chest. It's an invasive species. They will drive bluebirds, the native birds, out of their nests, or sometimes even kill them, or kill their offsprings, clean up the nest, and build their own nest over there. By capturing birds, we get a lot of data from it that we can use now.
An invasive species is something that can grow, can reproduce, it's not native, and it's having an effect on ecosystems. Economically, ecologically, from a sustainability standpoint, it's having an effect.
This is really a threat in prairie restorations, in unmowed areas like ditches and other things where one of these little berries can land from a bird and start to grow. So it outcompetes our native plants is really the biggest problem with this.
State of Change premieres 7:30 this Thursday on WILL-TV. It'll also be on YouTube and the PBS Passport app and other PBS stations around Illinois. Check your local listings. Joining me now, Tanisha Spain, is environmental reporter and the main presenter for State of Change. She's also the host of Mid-American Gardener from our home station, Illinois Public Media. Tanisha, welcome back to the show. Good to talk with you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I should say, in order to make our schedules work, we tape this conversation in advance, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. All right, tell us a little bit more about what people can expect from this year's State of Change.
So this year we did a lot of talking about invasives from several different perspectives. And instead of just telling you about them and telling you about the problem, we took a really vested interest in telling you also what you can do in your small corner of the world, whether that is putting up birdhouses that have specific size entrances to be more hospitable to our native birds rather than invasive birds, to the things that you can plant in your yard to attract native insects. So we really give folks the tools this time around to go outside and notice things that are changing in your neighborhood and what you can do, like I said, in just your little spot to help out.
Talk about how did you come up with that sort of frame for this? Because one of the things we hear about climate change reporting is it's one of these, I've heard the term used, hyper object. It's something that's so big and so vast, people have a hard time sort of grasping it and they just become overwhelmed and tune it out. How did you decide to make this a more practical sort of news product?
Sure. So the focus has always been on Illinois specifically, but to boil it down even further, we learned a couple of things last year. We learned that when we talk to people directly about what they find in their community, they're more engaged. We had a lot of feedback last year when we were talking about heat islands and air quality, and people thought, wow, this is affecting me personally in my home, in my county. So that was the approach. We wanted folks to be able to just literally walk outside and go, huh, there's some honeysuckle right there. Oh, wow, I have this plant growing on my property. So it was, just like you said, the practicality and just the approachable. We learned last year that was a really great way to reach people who otherwise had not invested in or paid much attention to climate change. So the more you can take it from that global down to U.S., down to Illinois, down to your county, that's when you get people's attention.
All right. Well, one of the things that I think will also get people's attention is the presence of armadillos in Illinois.
Isn't that funny?
I've seen one in Florida. I've never seen one in Illinois yet, but I guess it's a matter of time, right?
I haven't seen one personally either, but you're right. There's a family here in Vermilion County where I'm located. They took pictures. They found one in their yard over the summer and posted it. So, I mean, they are slowly but surely creeping all the way up the state. So people are definitely finding them. And that one kind of strikes me as strange. But, you know, the insects and the invasive birds, that one's a little bit more poetic. We found out that with the sparrows, for example, the starlings, I mean, those were released here by a fan of Shakespeare less than 200 years ago. And they released, you know, less than 100 of them. And now there are hundreds of millions across the entire country. So some of these have a really interesting backstory. Of just coming here and surviving by chance, while others are literally, you can watch their patterns. They're moving up through Mexico, Central America, even our southern states, just because we're warming up and they can survive the winters here.
Well, that's okay. So you anticipated my next question, which is, I think we're all familiar with invasive species stories. Why is this also a climate story? Is it just a matter of it's warmer, so you see more of these creatures being able to survive here?
Yeah, great question. So that's the big one is temperature. And these, you know, 60 and 70 degree days in November are kind of telling as well. But it's also our precipitation. We're not getting as much snow. So things aren't dying off in the wintertime. And we are getting lots of rain at certain times of the year, which is really great for things like mosquitoes. So it's more our changing patterns with the temperature, with our precipitation. It's kind of creating this perfect storm where the heartland is, it's up for grabs. It's a toss-up for a lot of creatures who are coming our way.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with my Illinois Public Media colleague, Tanisha Spain, about the upcoming television special, State of Change 2024. This year, it focuses on how you can see changes in your environment in real time and things you can do to help keep ecosystems stable. We're not taking calls for this. We had to tape it in advance, but you can always let us know what you thought by leaving a voicemail at 217-300-2121, 217-300-2121. All right, another part of the series, you mentioned this briefly earlier, but it focuses on invasive plants. We have another clip.
Mm-hmm. I would say if we had to look at the plant that is the biggest threat to Illinois native plant diversity and forests, it's this one, honeysuckle. If you go back to, you know, the history of honeysuckle, it was introduced in the 1800s as kind of an ornamental species in general, mm-hmm. but there's a big push after the Dust Bowl when we started to look at ways to control erosion and what are some good wildlife species to actually plant honeysuckle and autumn olive as well.
Today, those same plants are choking out native plants across the state by developing leaves earlier in the spring and blocking the sunlight that native seedlings need to grow. That means plants like honeysuckle have a longer growing season that could be helping them to not just survive, but thrive.
If we do nothing, eventually this plant will take over the understory, and again, it can get much taller. So it could be up to 20 feet tall, and you'll wind up, there's lots of woodlands around Illinois that this is the only thing you see in the understory.
All right, this is another one of those cases where we talked about earlier, where people can actually do something with the knowledge they're going to get from this program. So talk about that.
Yes, so this was really cool. We spent a day in a natural area, and you know, we saw so many different ways of controlling invasive species. He walked us, that was Ryan Pankow, he's with Illinois Extension. And we saw all the way from hand pulling these weeds. We walked and we did a few. Then we went to a section where they had to be clear cut with heavy machinery. Then we went to a section of the forest that actually they did a control burn. So we actually got to walk through an area and see where these big groups would come together on a Saturday or a Sunday morning and literally just pull weeds for hours. So we talk about how to identify them on your property and what the leaves look like and they're silvery on the bottom or if they're serrated or have berries. And really just give people those tools You know, and like he was saying, some of this we did to ourselves for ornamental value, or, you know, outdated, what we know is now outdated science for controlling erosion and things. But the ornamental pear trees that you see when you drive down the interstate that are kind of flashing those colors, those, we did that to ourselves. And so we've got to correct some of this. And so that's where we're leaning into some of that citizen science, just giving folks the tools. Hey, I know that plant. I know what those leaves look like. I remember they said this is, you know, with the berries, and one bird takes one berry and bada bing, you've got an entire honeysuckle forest that you're going to have to try to work on. So it's really from the hand pulling all the way to burning acres of field, how you can get involved.
You mentioned birds again, and this is something that was sort of a new frame for me. I guess it makes sense that birds could be an invasive species, but they're just so ubiquitous, and it seems like, to my untrained eyes, it's a lot of the same ones that have always been there. But what can people do to prevent, the invasive bird species?
Sure. So the birds are problematic in that they cause a lot of agricultural damage. So, you know, you can see that going all the way up with our livestock and things of that nature. So that's why the birds are kind of causing an issue in our food chain, but just in our backyards per se. Like I mentioned, the sparrows earlier, they breed quickly. They have no natural enemies, and they're just taking over, and they're taking over native areas. I'm sorry, they're taking over natural areas where our native birds are. So those birds are not able to thrive, and their populations are decreasing. So you might have a ton of sparrows and starlings, but where are the native birds, like the robins and the bluebirds? And so that's what you'll start to suffer. It'll be the diversity of what is in the area when those bird numbers go unchecked.
Just a couple of minutes left in our time together. You also took the opportunity to try, I guess we have to call it Kopi, formerly known as Asian carp. I myself got to taste some at the state fair a couple of years ago. I won't prejudice our conversation. What did you think?
You know, I did not taste it. I had the pleasure of being in the boat when we were doing this story. They put the prongs down into the water, and this is the horror story where the fish were jumping 10 feet in the air while we were doing the story. So I didn't eat them.
You didn't get to eat them.
I didn't have to have an interaction with them.
I was going to say, you didn't miss much. We're going to get some letters about that. All right. State of Change, once again, is going to be on public television station WILL-TV this Thursday, 7:30 in the evening. You can also find it on the PBS Passport app, YouTube, and other public television stations around Illinois, although sometimes a little bit later on those other stations. The presenter is Tanisha Spain, who's also environmental reporter and host of Mid-American Gardener at Illinois Public Media. Tanisha, congratulations on another installment, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. And one quick note on the Kopi, the slogan, if you can't beat them, eat them.
And that is all the time we have for our show today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking about daylight saving time. Yes, I know it ended more than a week ago, but with the intense focus we've had on the election, we haven't had a chance to talk about it. And I want to talk about it tomorrow. I'm frankly still feeling a little bit jet lagged. Maybe it was also some of the late nights we had to pull covering the election, but we're going to talk about the science behind daylight saving time and some of the policy implications, and some people who say it should be made permanent, or maybe it should be eliminated forever. If you have an opinion on that, we'd love to hear about it. Talk@21stshow.org is the address. Talk@21stshow.org. We may share your comments tomorrow on the program. We appreciate hearing from you in general. You can find our email address, our voicemail line, every other way to contact us on our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can also find links to subscribe to our podcasts, or just look us up on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen, including now YouTube. Yes, you can find us on YouTube by searching for Illinois Public Media. The 21st Show is produced by Anna Casey, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Coulson Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.